Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to the Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM, your local radio station, with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, your local minister at Saltcoats North Parish Church. As you know, we like to take on big challenges in this programme. For instance, we've made programmes on silence, which is a no-no in radio, a 30-minute programme all in one song, Alleluia. And on the other hand, we've squeezed in as many as 15 tracks into one programme. We also did 30 tips on relaxation in just 30 minutes. We did a visual art exhibition on radio. How's that for a challenge? But in this programme, the challenge is perhaps greater than anything we've attempted before. Wow. Are you up for it then? There are three challenges in one, namely, to keep you interested in a subject which most people are switched off by, to keep you all united together with something which has caused fierce divisions over the centuries, and to explain in simple terms the most complicated matter in the universe, namely God. God is understood in Christian terms as Father, Son and Holy Spirit, three in one, one in three, the Trinity. Now wait before you rush to switch off. Remember that the challenge is for me to make it worth your while to hear me out. I promise you that if you run with this a wee bit, you will have to admit, maybe a little grudgingly, I'm glad I tuned in. It has explained something very important. And as always, we throw in some wonderful music and singing, like this first track. History of the world, at every time and place, in every culture, human beings have had a great fascination with the possibility of there being many gods or a single God. Whether you believe or not, the subject keeps coming up. God will simply not go away. So why this human fascination? I was once asked by high school pupils to come into school during their lunchtime to speak to them on the subject of their choice, which was, did God make us or did we make God? Isn't that the most wonderful title for a talk? Imagine a Stone Age man walking home from a day's work, hunting woolly mammoths, looking forward to his big woolly mammoth burger and chips, when he decides to sit down for a moment on a large boulder to rest. As he sits there in the warmth of the summer sun, he surveys the scene before his eyes, a lush green meadow sloping down to a meandering river, with a variety of trees and birds and animals, and in the background the purple-headed mountains. To his surprise, he finds his mind wandering to thoughts he's never thought before, like, how did all this come to be? Is it by design or by accident? Is it all going somewhere, to some plan and purpose? Or is it just what it is and no more? And where do I fit into it all? What's my part? Where am I going? How did I come to be? Why am I thinking all these strange thoughts? This is a bit scary. It's also intriguing. It's not just Stone Age man who experiences this spiritual awakening. We all do, to greater or lesser extents. Babies don't think much, but eventually they start to become self-conscious, then conscious of other people and a wider world, and then conscious of God. God may start off as a swear word or a word on other people's lips, or an idea in a book, but in time, we may or we may not form a personal relationship with him, like Roger Patterson in this song.
God, is it true that you're thinking of me at this moment? God, is it true that you hear every prayer that I pray? God, is it true every time my heart beats, you know it? Well, if it's all true, then that must be you I hear saying, trust me.
It is not so easy to believe in the existence of God, and a whole lot harder to actually trust him. Albert Bogle wants to believe, but he has his doubts too.
What are these thoughts I have searching me? Sometimes I think you ask too much of me. I know that you deserve respect and many other things. Please forgive my doubting heart. I wanna believe in you. While I'm here in my bed, and all these thoughts run through my head. I come to life with just one breath of you. I come to life with just one glance from you. What are these plans you have shaping me? I wish sometimes you'd just give up on me, and then I could get bored with life and join the human race. Oh, please forgive my doubting heart, I wanna believe in you. While I'm here in my bed and all these thoughts run through my head, I come to life with just one breath of you. I come to life with just one glance of you.
Susan Boyle comes at it from another angle. She did believe and trust, but life has got very difficult, and now she's losing her grasp on God, and she needs God to be there for her, to reassure her. She needs him to just hold her. She will soon find out, one way or the other, whether God will be there for her or not.
What is it more that you want that I am not seeing? What in my ignorant prayers am I failing to say? Never before have I questioned the truth of your being. Never once have I dared. Never until today. All of a tremble I stand on the edge of confusion. Who is to say if into the darkness I fall? Now that I need more than ever my God to be near me, do you hear when I call? Are you there after all? You have to be there, you have to. My life I have placed in thy keep, and without you I am drifting on a dark and stormy sea. You, I drown in the deep, too far from land. The waters drag me down, I reach for your hand. And when I die, he will open his arms to receive me. Who will forgive me and take me and show me his face? When I have gone to my rest, will you watch me and wake me? When my time comes at last, will you grant me your grace? I am so small on this earth, I'm nothing without you. Daring to doubt you at all is a knife to my heart. Little by little I'm losing my way in the shadows. I am losing my hope, and the world falls apart. You have to be there, you have to. My life I have placed in thy keep,
So, all through history, human beings have thought about God. And all through our own personal life history, we have wondered about God. Does he exist? Who exactly is he? What's he like? How can we know? Does it matter? Agnostics are people who do not know. They would like to know one way or the other. Atheists are certain that they know that there is not a God. But then they are tempted to blame God when disasters come. So they have a bit of a dilemma whether there is a God or whether he's a bad so-and-so. Humanists think that we can manage fine ourselves without God, whether or not he exists. Buddhists do not believe in any God. Buddha was just a man. Muslims believe in Allah, Jews, Jehovah, and Christians think that Jesus Christ is the divine God who once came down to a stable in Bethlehem, a carpenter's bench in Nazareth, and a cross in Jerusalem before ascending back to heaven. Hence we are nicknamed Christ Ones or Christians. The name was first coined in Antioch in modern Turkey as a term of abuse, and then adopted by the followers of Jesus as a title of honour. But Christians also believe in God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, as well as God the Son. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one, one in three, the glorious Trinity. As you can see, there's a lot of confusion in human understanding of God.
Sometimes it takes a moment of quiet. Sometimes I need to steal away and slow right down for quiet reflection, so I can feel your awesome love again. So I can feel your awesome love again. For you are God, you are the Savior, you are the one I need in my life. Show me now how to come closer. Come and touch the heart of me inside. Come and touch the heart of me inside. Sometimes it takes the critic's opinion to let me see just the strength of my pride. Take me back down to the foot of your mountain and show me, Lord, the way I have to climb. And show me, Lord, the way I have to climb. For you are God, you are the Savior, you are the one I need in my life. Show me now how to come closer. Come and touch the heart of me inside. Come and touch the heart of me inside. The world's not the place where we like to lose faith, and the flesh in us turns round to fight. But Jesus, I know that my pride's got to go, as you're calling me now to new life. For you are God, you are the Savior, you are the one I need in my life. Show me now how to come closer. Come and touch the heart of me inside.
That was Ian White. In the course of world history and human thinking about God, there have been significant ideas, such as thinking that the sun, the moon, and the stars and the wind had control of our lives and our seasons and our crops and our fertility. Thinking that fate, luck, chance, the orbit of the planets determines our futures. Thinking that there are many gods. For example, the Greeks and Romans believed this. That is polytheism, in Greek poly is many, and theos is God. Then came the thought, maybe there are just two basic gods. That's dualism. There's the god of light and the god of dark. For example, Zoroastrians in Persia worship the god Ahura Mazda, the god of light, and we still have Mazda light bulbs, and the god of dark, Angru Mainyu. Life sometimes feels like a cosmic game of chess, with us as the poor pawns getting shoved around by higher beings. Then came the Jews, claiming that there's only one god, that's monotheism. With dualism, all the good things came from the good god, and all the bad things came from the bad god. But if there's only one god, he seems to be responsible for the good and the bad. That's a problem of theodicy, and it belongs to another program. Christians are monotheists, but of a particular type. We are Trinitarian. Yes, we do believe in one God, but we understand him as one being with a threeness as much as a oneness to him. When St. Patrick in Ireland tried to explain God as Trinity, he picked up a clover leaf and asked his congregation, "How many do you see?" Half of them said one, half three. Same with God, he explained. Others point to the same substance being ice, water or steam. I would put it this way, I'm your DJ, I'm the parish's minister, and I'm my wife's husband. Same me, but in three different capacities. At the same time, I, my wife, and Dougie, our miniature dachshund dog, are three different personalities, but one family. So we all have a bit of the three-in-one and one-in-threeness. But our unity in Trinity is imperfect. Me, the wife, and the dog can fall out. Usually the dog wins. But imagine God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in such a unity that they sing in perfect harmony from the same song sheet. The oneness is complete, while the threeness is still there. Let me show you how I think the Trinity of God works in practice. This is a sketch which I wrote to show God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit planning the creation of the world. Note how it is a committee of three, but yet it is not three different gods. That would be tritheism. And it's not just one God playing three options or roles, taking three positions. That would be Unitarianism or modalism. The only way to describe it is Trinitarian. The three persons are distinguishable, but they're not separable. That's to use the official Christian phrase. I hope this has been of some help to you, so bye for now, and I leave you with Roger Patterson, Frank Patterson, and Gary Musig in this sketch.
So, shall I create the world or not?
To be or not to be, that is the question.
Why should we? Then again, why not?
Well, there is much to be said on both sides.
We don't have to.
No, we don't have to do anything.
And we do already have a splendid unity and fellowship within ourselves.
It's not like we're lonely or anything.
But it would be nice to find another outlet for our infinite love.
As God the Father, I would like to have children to love.
As God the Son, you have me.
And me.
Yes, of course. But we have such a perfect unity of love already. Don't you fancy a new challenge?
In what way?
Like loving less than perfect creatures.
We could love the unlovely, heal the brokenhearted, support the weak.
I didn't know you were a compulsive rescuer.
And if you didn't create them, there wouldn't be need to be any ugly, broken-hearted weaklings.
We could love the ugly into becoming beautiful. Frogs could turn into princes.
It would give us quite a buzz to comfort the sad and help people to be all they could be.
I could enable them to do things they dare not even dream about.
Wouldn't it be fun to have millions of partners, co-creators, channels of our love?
Not robots, but willing partners.
Yes, we could be covenant partners, wedded together by our boundless love.
We could work together as a team, human and divine.
They could be our hands and our feet and our voice.
They could be the channels of our love to one another.
True, but what if they don't play along with us?
What if they rebel against us?
If you give them real choices, they might make wrong choices.
They will not be so wise as us, so there is a good chance they will make mistakes. In fact, you could be sure of it.
But that need not be the end of the world.
No, people can learn from their mistakes.
But mistakes can cost a lot, an awful lot.
But surely we could redeem the situation somehow.
How?
We can teach them and guide them and inspire them.
We could give them scriptures and prophets.
Give them teachers and preachers.
We could send them angels and signs.
We could give them brains to think and hearts to feel.
We could make them sensitive to our promptings.
But what if they still get lost? Fall, fail, blow it.
I could be the good shepherd seeking out his lost sheep.
And I could open their eyes and hearts to respond to you.
Love hurts. To have creatures to care for will cost. It is sacrificial.
We know that, but love is prepared to pay the cost. I'm ready to sacrifice myself.
And I'm right behind you. I will breathe new life into dry bones.
So, is that agreed? We shall create man and women in our own image. In other words, like ourselves, able to give and to receive love, both human and divine love.
And if they fall, I mean when they fall, I will go and pick them up.
And I will teach them to walk better the next time.
So how shall we go about it?
I'll go down to the earth and get alongside them and show them the error of their ways and how life should be lived.
You will need me to make sure they get the message.
We can prepare the way by giving scriptures and prophecies.
I will not blind them by my holy light, but I'll come alongside them in a way that they can relate to. I know. I will come into the world in exactly the same way that they do, by being born as a baby.
The danger then is that they underestimate you and think you are just another human baby. We need to do something special. I know, we'll arrange angels to announce your birth, wise men to act as witnesses, and a star to show them the way to go. We could also get some humble shepherds to witness the arrival of the Good Shepherd.
I am sure we can get through to them and show them that we exist and that we love them.
And by my sacrificial suffering, I will expose their sinfulness and dent their high opinion of themselves.
We will show them just how much they crucify us every day.
We will absorb the hurt and return love for hate. We will forgive them.
We will bounce back from everything they throw at us, including death.
And we will put a new spirit in them. Christmas will be their birth too.